I'd left the lights on in the downstairs before going to bed. However, at present, I couldn't clearly make out my surroundings. Perhaps the power had gone out, or else my eyes were still grappling with sleep. My ears, when the roar of blood finally became a murmur, did seem to work, though, and what I heard issuing from the downstairs drew a shriek from my lips. It was the piano. Slow, sinister music was rising up from the living room. A funeral march was ringing out clearly, played by an expert hand. Shuddering, I forced myself into a kneeling position and then leaned against the wall to gain my feet. Dizzy with fear, I limped down the hall to the top of the stairs. Not trusting my balance, I gripped the banister for dear life and inched my way down, my ears pricking up as the tune wore on and the sinister melody turned up atop the heavy bass notes. Arriving at the foot of the stairs, out of breath, I shambled through the foyer and into the living room, shouting at the top of my lungs, "Enough of this!" The lights were on downstairs, and at the sound of my voice they flickered noticeably. I scanned the living room, finding no one seated at the piano and the fallboard shut. The bench was pushed in all the way, and the music came to an abrupt stop. Though the piano was unoccupied, I discovered something that gave my tortured heart further pause. On the floor of the living room, writhing beneath a white sheet, was a groaning, human-shaped mass. A fleshy arm reached out from beneath the linen, its sinewy length looking like something in a butcher's shop. Positioned immediately before the hearth, the figure beneath the sheet loosed a series of dry, miserable moans. Then, with a sudden seizure and a fit of retching, the white cloth became soaked in red. The pitiable creature beneath it was in his death throes, and his suffering was immense. A cacophony arose in the upstairs. Muffled voices and the stomping of many feet could be heard. I knew instinctively whose voices and footsteps those were. The Endless Circle. They're here. The cultists are here, in this house. And they're going to come downstairs for me. In a panic, I ran to the front door and yanked it open. It was not the front porch that opened out before me, however. At throwing open the front door, I was faced with the incomprehensible sight of my bedroom. Looking into the moonlit bedroom from the foyer, I saw myself sleeping peacefully on the mattress as though nothing had happened, my slumbering form surrounded by doubtful, undulating shapes that rose up out of the blackness in the corners. Shaking my head and staggering back in disbelief, my fractured mind tried to make sense of this. It was like the house was folding in on itself, morphing all around me. Reality itself was coming undone. I gripped my teeth so hard that I felt one of my molars crack under the pressure. That was when I woke up, really woke up, in my bed. I was crying, and it was several minutes before I could even bring myself to open my eyes and look out across my room. Everything, it turned out, was normal. It was just past 6 in the morning, and the sun was about to rise. There was no piano music, no one standing around my bed. I was doused in sweat and tangled in my covers. The back of my head hurt where I'd bumped it against the floor in terror. Everything I'd just experienced, it seemed, had been in my head. Nothing but a dream, albeit a very vivid one. Still, I couldn't banish the feeling that up until the moment I'd opened my eyes, there'd been someone in the room with me. Extricating myself from the mess of covers, I hobbled through the house, descending the stairs uncertainly, and finding nothing but the first signs of day peeking out across the floorboards of the living room. I think I laughed then, but I can't remember. What I do remember was that, shortly thereafter, barefoot and in my pajamas, I left the house, fell into the driver's seat of my Civic, and cried for some time with the doors locked.